This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
It's first down Texans from the Houston 22. Empty backfield after motion. CJ in the gun. Here's pressure. CJ over the middle. Schultz this time. 30, 35. Both hands on the ball as he backpedals his way across the 37. Brought down at the 38-yard line. 16 yards. Move the sticks.
It's a tight end kind of drive, isn't it?
Yeah, man, on National Tight Ends Day, the tight end was involved very early and often. Dalton Schultz had a connection with CJ in the course of the 23-20 victory over the Colts. And from the text line, the 5-Hour Energy fan line, that is, the 832, they said, man, 6-2, and they beat the Colts, and T.Y. Hilton didn't show up to suddenly gain 200 yards. It was a good day. All right.
This is true.
I think that's, I understand. Division games get wildy, especially AFC South games. Mm-hmm. They're just... it's just weird, you know, and so maybe that was ultimately what it is. I don't know. Maybe you'll be able to tell me in OG's passing thoughts.
Let's get to him, and let's start with that one. You know, it was very clear from
just not going to let Figgy play the intro.
You don't like your intro,
wow,
man?
That's crazy,
I love
bro.
My
no,
intro.
He doesn't.
You know
he was giving me hell last week. You remember that?
We could do it without the intro.
No, hell no.
Go ahead and start it, man.
No, hell no.
Go ahead and start it.
I'm not saying a word till I hear the intro.
Wisdom's opinions, barbecue sauce. Our guy Lopez has it all and shares it with you.
I used to go into the clubhouse and I just
It's time for the OG's passing thoughts.
Tell me a story, OG.
Did you used to do that because of like AFC South games? Is that what happened? You just go in and
then just that.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't love that intro? I'm blaming Figgy's food poisoning for all the little miscommunications that are happening, if they happen. But let's start with what you heard coming into the segment. It was clear from the literal first play offensively, Bobby Slowick had a different approach. I mean, mm-hmm. there was no question about it. First two plays were passes to Joe Mixon.
One of them looked intentional. The other one looked like a check down, but still.
Yeah, but still, you know, in the mix there. And then tight ends were a huge part of things. And that's something that we talked about last week. And the middle of the field was a huge part of the focus. So last week when, you know, D'Amico Ryans was talking about everything's on the table, this clearly was one of the things. The approach, the quicker approach.
Yeah.
Help C.J. Stroud. Get Joe Mixon and some of the tight ends involved in the passing game. Like, that was, to me, abundantly clear.
Yeah, definitely felt like there was one point I turned to Seth and I was like, it just feels like they're doing a better job of, when a blitz comes, replacing the blitz, throwing right where that blitz came from, which is the general basic philosophy on throwing against the blitz is, hey, that where that man is blitzing from, they're not going to be able to fully cover.
Yeah.
And so if you have a route in that space, throw there.
Yeah.
And it feels like, I don't know, maybe I'm just not recalling and I'll need to go and do like the legwork of looking it up. But Seth seemed to agree, which would, I imagine I'm leaning on also his, you know, kind of memory in that it did not feel like they were doing that nearly as much. And that felt like one of those easy answers to help you when that pressure comes.
So it was a close game, but, you know, definite, you know, attempt there by Bobby Slowick and successfully in large part to do that. All right. Another passing thought here. Can't ignore this because it was really, really, really cool. It was Andre Johnson ring day.
Yes, it was.
And from the very beginning, the parking lot, I'm sure you felt it as well. People with their Andre gear on. The halftime, ceremony was fantastic. I thought it was a huge, nice touch to unveil. I didn't know this was coming. The Hall of Fame logo.
Yeah, next to the ring, next to his name on the Ring of Honor.
Next to his name on the Ring of Honor. And even better, like, every player who could possibly come back and be a part of that came back.
Including the headliner for me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was going there. Go ahead.
No, you deserve
Arian
the honor.
Arian Foster.
Yeah.
Arian came back. And I know for a fact there was a little bit of work behind the scenes to get him come back, but it just kind of shows you how big of a player Andre Johnson was. Arian Foster said
how well respected
and how well respected.
Yeah, man. It felt like I saw some of the video tributes, and it's just like, oh wow, they're getting anybody and everybody to be able to say good things about Andre Johnson, because how could you not?
Yeah, yeah. And maybe it's a start of something for Arian Foster, you know, sort of rebuilding that relationship, maybe ultimately getting in the Ring of Honor himself where he belongs.
100%.
And the only thing was, I kind of felt bad for Seth. Like,
That he was stuck up in the press box sitting next to us.
He's up there with us jamokes, you know? Yeah, Seth should have been down there.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, they're good friends. They played together. I mean, I kind of felt bad for Seth.
Yeah, but, there he was at halftime. Mm-hmm. Chowing on a meatball instead of being on that.
He had work to do.
He had work to do.
Honestly, I think he actually was happier being up in the press box.
I don't know. I would have wanted to be down there.
Okay, I also think that Seth would be a one to justify it in his mind. Yeah. Like, if he was down there, he would also been happy down there.
Yeah. That said about Bobby Slowick, CJ Stroud, I think it was obvious to a lot of people, was just a little off.
Yes.
He was a little off. And that might lead to a bigger question if we continue to see this. We sort of broached the subject last week. All this pressure that he's getting, again, you know, 50-something percent, even yesterday, under pressure. Is he maybe getting, rattled is too strong a word, but is he maybe trying to overcompensate, you know, on some of his throws and scrambles and things like that?
Yeah, that is absolutely a question that flashed through my mind at some point. It's just, is he being sped up artificially? Because,
that's a better way to put it.
Because of the lack of trust, really, right? I don't know that he would put it in those terms, but I think that would be the way that you have to diagnose it, is that he does not trust his offensive line to hold up for the full amount of time that's necessary. And of course, like, that is probably being reasonable. Like, okay, if I know that they have not done that to a high degree, I should not expect them to do that. But that is something that you would hope that a quarterback could depend on, is his offensive line to give him enough time to go through the progressions that he needs to and find the right outlet.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, sometimes it also feels like it's also limiting some of his view and his scope on the field at times.
Put a pin in that, because it was... He made some plays, obviously, but he also sped up a little bit, as you put it. I'm asking you guys, this is a very serious question. I'm not trying to be dramatic or you know, whatever. Had Jarrett Patterson not gotten hurt, would we have ever heard from Kenyon Green again?
What, you think they're locking him in like a dungeon or something? What you mean?
No, I mean, I think that he would have been, if Jarrett Patterson had not gotten hurt and played the rest of the season, would that have been it?
It felt like that was a pretty big shift in that moment, especially because, and we'll talk more about this, it feels like this team is slow to make shifts. And so by the time they made a change, it was just abundantly clear. I mean,
he was unplayable.
Kenyon Green had gotten whooped.
He was unplayable.
And I try and say these things respectfully and with some level of dignity, I guess, with the players. But, you know, he was just out there getting absolutely, he was getting his lunch taken from
him. Run plays, too, which on occasion he's been better. Or I should say, you know, by and large, he's been better on run plays, but he was getting whooped on those as well. I mean,
and
that might have been
too. Some of those instances, he was getting beat in an instant. That's even bigger of a problem. Like, it's one thing if you get beat eventually, right?
Yeah.
The idea that you're losing that battle instantly is something that you can't have, and it was to the point where they just had to get him off the field.
Yeah. Another one for you here. Joe Mixon, and you heard the highlight already, but he's not just a bad dude. I think he's the best running back already that this team has had since Arian Foster.
Yes.
Maybe the second best running back ever in the franchise's history. That's not overstating it, is it?
I don't think so in the moment.
I mean,
he's really good.
He was so good.
He's like, I'll do it whether you do stuff in front of me or not. Yeah. I will make this work. And, of course, it helps when these guys are there. I felt like there was moments where the offensive line was blocking it up better. There was periods of time where they got into the space, including when Jarrett Patterson was in for that 10-play drive or what have you.
Yeah.
Right? But there was other moments, and he just takes whatever you got, and he's like, I'm going to put some on top. Right?
Yeah.
He is that friend that's like, hey, man, are we going on a trip? I got here's my part, no matter what, right? Like,
I got
you had a party. Here's a little bill to help with the expenses. He's always adding in.
Yeah, that's awesome. Anthony Richardson is bad. Like, he's just bad. I know it's still relatively early.
There's so much raw ability.
He's just bad. But here's where I'm going with my passing thought.
Okay.
I don't care, you know. I get on one level. if you are just completely gassed and there is just nothing left in the tank and you're somewhat of a successful quarterback in that game, I kind of get taking yourself out because you're tired. But ain't no way he should have taken himself out because he was tired. In that moment, in a crucial moment, just hunch over, take some deep breaths, take your time, milk the clock, run the play. He took himself out of a game in a critical moment because he was tired.
That feels so unprecedented.
Yes. He was tired.
Yeah, and...
And that was, I guess, was it a fourth down play or a third down play?
It was a third.
Yeah, third down play.
It was a third down play where they bring in Flacco to hand the ball off.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess in theory, maybe that was what Steichen wanted to do in that moment anyways, because...
It's like third and 15.
Don't take yourself out.
Like, Flacco, if they need to throw the football, they would let him throw the football.
Hey, y'all want players to be honest.
I know, and I can appreciate
that. That's honesty right there.
But when, I guess my bigger point is, especially when you're playing so badly... Like, if you're having a good game and whatever, it's a close game, it's like, I need a blow. I think people would have accepted it a little more. But he's looking awful. And then he gets out of the game because he's
now players
tired.
About to start lying again. They about to start lying to us now.
You're not wrong. The problem is, just because you're honest does not exempt you from us then analyzing what you said. And, yeah, I think I'm with you. I'm just not willing to go that hard on it because ultimately the thing that I'm still standing with is, hey, man, how about be better? Like, it's just he is going to repair the cautionary tale of taking the traits guy, right? Yeah. Everybody is chasing traits guy because Josh Allen, after 2 years of being bad, found his way into being a really good quarterback behind the traits.
Yeah,
and so all these general managers and all their hubris comes back to the fore where they're like, oh, we got coaches that can fix that.
Yeah,
as long as you put them traits down. And Anthony
Allen was the exception.
He is traits. Yeah, but the exception.
Yeah,
that gets some people hemmed up.
I said it before the draft, Figgy. Anybody, you know how I felt about Anthony Richardson before the draft. I did not like him coming into the game, into the NFL. I gave him some benefit of the doubt because of those traits. But you throw 51% in college, that's not an NFL quarterback. Another couple for you here, real quick. When healthy, I think we need to start giving this secondary a lot more credit, including the safety. First of all, Kamari Lassiter, 3 passes defensed. Eric Murray, 3 passes defensed. Derek Stingley didn't get thrown at very much, but had a pass defensed on a very crucial play. I think we need to start like saying, oh, they need help at safety only, which I've done, and they might still need, you know, some help, a little bit of help at safety, but that was quite the performance. I get it. Anthony Richardson was bad, but that was quite the performance.
Yeah, and they did not get hurt by some of the deep shots that were available, but I always find myself kind of trying to, you know, trying to balance it out by understanding that, hey, man, defense in particular, playing secondary in a league like this, you're going to get got in some ways. Yeah. Like, you're not going to be perfect. And so holding them to a standard of perfection might be a little high in that way. But, yeah, no, they handle themselves really well. I think the question ends up being, like, do you have the depth?
Yeah.
That is the question that seems like it's always been there. Because Kamari Lassiter back, great. You see the hand, the ball placement or his ability to get his hand between wide receiver's hands and knock the ball out. It seems like he is picture perfect in those instances. But what happens when he's not there
right.
is what you've seen, right? And what happens if you know, obviously Jimmy Ward has not been there, and so you've had Eric Murray step up, a fantastic game from him. You have Kalen Bullock out there, you know, playing at a high level. MJ Stewart slides in and he handles his own, I think, for a very short period of time. But, like, yeah, what depth-wise, I think, is more the question. At the top end, these guys are doing what they need to do, as helped by the front line, making sure to speed that quarterback.
One
up.
More for you here. Given that Figgy pointed this out, the Texans are playing a lot of close games. You've pointed it out. Given that the Texans are playing so many close games, would you put Kyahmi Fairbairn as a top 5 player down the stretch on this team?
Ooh, I might need to actually take the time to think about that. Like
they're playing a lot of close games. If he doesn't hit those field goals.
I was about to say, he might be top 3, to be honest.
Is Kyahmi Fairbairn a top 5 player on this team going the rest of the way?
He's up there. He's absolutely. Actually,
gotta be
up there. Easy top 5.
Yeah.
Easy top 5. Yeah, I think. And then you start having a conversation about top 3. And some of it is like you could tell that everybody on the team trusts in him and believes to the
point. It's not even a second thought.
To the point where there might be a little too trustworthy of him and not necessarily going and trying to do some other things. But no, he's absolutely. It was weird when he missed a 50-plus yard field goal.
Yeah.
It's to that level. That is a lot of respect that is paid to Kyme Fairbairn and it's earned.
Yeah, and I think if you're playing a lot of close games like this, let's say this is the identity of this team, playing close games, you need that brother right
there.
You
got to have it. Got to have it. He might be top five. Hell, he might be top three.
Ooh, boy, I just had a... Oh, I appreciate the idea that, man, he's going to be good in those big moments, but the idea that the identity of this team would be playing close games is not... I don't like
and
that
kick
for
and
my
field goals, baby.
I don't like that for my cardiovascular
cardiac kids.
Yeah. I immediately thought, let me go contact my doctor.
You got to sit on your hands every game.
All right, speaking about loyalty, as we're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Our question of the day, is being too loyal a bad thing? Let us know. 713-572, that's a 5-hour energy fan line. We'll discuss that next.